Skagway Traditional Council offered a free Tlingit language workshop in Skagway this week. The class was taught by Khune Lance Twitchell, an associate professor of Alaska Native Languages at the University of Alaska Southeast. Twitchell sat down in the KHNS studio to talk about his work developing learning resources for native languages. So first, I was hoping you could tell me a bit about your experience with learning Tlingit. So is it something that you grew up learning, or how did you learn this language?
Yeah, my grandpa was Gushtahin Sy Dennis Sr. And when I was about 20 years old, he got pretty ill. And while I was staying with him and my grandmother, Dorothy, I realized that he spoke Tlingit. And I was about 20 years old. And it was really interesting to me because he was the only one that I knew of in our immediate family that could speak it. And so I just asked him to teach me one day. And my grandpa loved to just laugh. He was a fun guy. And so he pointed at this salt shaker on the table and he said, "Age." And I tried to say that, and he laughed at me, because that's what he liked to do. But then one of my goals was, well, maybe I can get him to not laugh at me, and I can get good enough that he won't laugh. And then maybe I'll get good enough that we can talk to each other. And it became this important bond. And then when he passed away, unfortunately, a couple years after that, I kind of fell apart a little bit. But then I found these language tapes and ways to learn. And it was a way for me to hold on to him in some ways, because we had this bond that we had started to form.
Very cool. And do you know, tell me a bit about those tapes. Where did those come from?
Yeah, so those tapes I found in Juneau, and they were produced by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. And it was done by Nora Marks Dauenhauer, whose Tlingit name is Keochne, and Richard Dauenhauer, whose Tlingit name was Huayinak. And it also featured the voice work of Fred White, whose Tlingit name is Kunag. And so as I started to listen and really just try to look at what kind of sources were out there, I just started to try and memorize everything that was printed in Tlingit that I could find. And then in 1999, I had heard about this camp that they were going to have in the summer of 2000. And so I attended this camp at the University of Alaska Southeast, which they called Hakustiyi, which means our way of life or our culture. And so I attended that. And one of the goals was to really stay in Tlingit. And I saw that there was this group of people who were committed to learning. I had just started to learn about this concept of indigenous language revitalization. And I was hooked, and I found this really amazing, supportive community of learners and teachers.
Was there any sort of transition when you went from, you know, being a learner to sharing your knowledge of the language with others? Like, how did that whole process start?
Yeah, there were a couple of folks here in Skagway who could speak, Richard Dick and Ada Haskins. And one of the things that I thought is I thought, well, maybe I can teach people what I'm learning. And there was a number of us who were younger adults who were learning, and we were also started teaching at the same time. And we found we had to figure out a lot of stuff because people would ask us things and would say, "Let me go find out." And then we would go try and figure it out and talk to speakers and try and figure out what's the most efficient way we can try and get people to learn the language. And then there was this group of us that were becoming the next generation of teachers to follow in the footsteps of these amazing language folks who were documenting and teaching and advocating, who would end up retiring or passing away, and we would end up stepping into into the void that they left. But one of the things that we realized is that this was something that we could end up doing. So I started teaching some small workshops here in Skagway, probably in the early 2000s. And then in the mid to late 2000s, I started teaching in Carcross, doing workshops there. And then when Richard Dauenhauer retired, his position became available at the University of Alaska Southeast, and I applied for it. And it was a wonderful process to see how embracing the the language community was of me getting that position. And then in that position, we've been able to do some things that have helped fulfill some of the dreams that our predecessors had.
And so by now, you know, you've developed numerous resources, you know, from the beginning Tlingit workbook to dictionaries and instructional videos and lessons. So, you know, these days, how do you make these kinds of resources effective for teaching language? You know, what are you trying to accomplish as you're developing these, you know, lessons and books and videos?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is say, well, there's some opportunities to learn at the university. And if you can't make it there, we have online classes. We take the classes that I teach and we record them and put them on YouTube so that anybody can watch them. We try to put as many resources as possible, at least I do, onto tlingitlanguage.com so that there's a website that people can go to go find things and also to share things. Like if folks are developing things, I try to encourage them, send it to me so I could put it up there so that other folks might be able to use it. And that way we're not duplicating our efforts. And so we're trying to fill this sort of, create these little frames that people can fill with their ideas and their activities and their incredible knowledge, and really trying to make this available and get these language communities started in as many communities as possible. Because what we're finding is there's more and more communities where you really can't find the language being spoken, and we need it to be spoken on the land, in the buildings, in the homes. And that's part of our goal, is to figure out as many resources as we can, so that some folks might be better learning just listening. Some folks might want to look at the structure of the language and try and figure out how it works. And we want to try and meet as many needs as possible.
Yeah, and then in terms of kind of, you know, different ways of learning, what are some of the challenges that you're thinking about when you're developing a lesson or one of these resources?
Well, one of my primary challenges is how do you just get people to talk? And so we end up with probably more folks historically who know about the language than who can just produce it and just say the things they want to be able to say and express themselves. And so there's some fancy terms for this. It's basically whatever you talk about on a day-to-day basis with the people you're around, we want to make sure folks are able to do that in Tlingit. And so some of that is making sure that we're not just that we're learning classroom language, but then we're learning how to apply that outside of the classroom and really encouraging folks to do what we've seen in Hawaii and Aotearoa, New Zealand, where folks will see each other, they'll see another language learner, and they'll say, oh yeah, I'm going to talk to you in our language, because that's what we've got to do. And so we're really trying to create those communities and trying to create these language nests, which are preschools that function entirely in our language as immersion programs. And we're trying to develop as many activities as possible, including immersion gatherings that are low pressure, fun activities, and also just really trying to challenge ourselves to continue to climb up in our abilities to speak and understand.
How was it in Skagway this week with some of the classes? You know, what were you focusing on?
Yeah, we had a great time. So Monday, we were in the school working with, I think, nearly all the students, and cycling them through in the music room and teaching them some pronunciation in Tlingit, and then teaching them the names of some of the places around us, Shkagwe, Nakh, Deya, and just talking about where these names come from, the fact that there is another language here. A lot of the kids had heard bits and pieces, but then there's quite a few kids who maybe have not heard Tlingit much before at all. And so it was really incredible to see how quickly they can make all of the different sounds. There's 61 sounds in Tlingit. Over 20 of them don't exist in English. So we want to introduce them to the sounds. And that was Monday. And then Monday evening, we had a workshop where we did a beginning Tlingit lesson that was open for the community. And we're hoping to do another one shortly after so we can build upon what we've been doing with these kind of introductory lessons. And then today in the school, we went over the sounds again, and then we taught the kids two songs with the idea that we can teach these kids how to sing these songs, and these songs can become part of the day-to-day activities. We translated Panther for the Skagway Panthers, which is Khalt-uch Hadadushi, which is fun. It's a black-haired tiger, basically. And so that's what we did in these last 2 days, and it was really fun. And we're hoping to do quite a bit more and just see what we can do to make Tlingit a living language in Skagway again.
How would you like to see Tlingit language education improve? You know, what would you like to see happening in schools and communities around the region?
Yeah, well, first I want to acknowledge the hard work that everybody's doing. We have incredible folks who are doing stuff in Klukwan, who are doing stuff in Juneau, in Haines, in Sitka, in Hoona, in Ketchikan, Wrangell, and also in our interior communities, Teslin and Atlin and Carcross, some folks in Whitehorse. And what we would really like to see, or what I would like to see, is that there's a language teacher in every school, and that there's an expectation that every child who's going to graduate takes one semester of an Alaska Native language, because we have 20 Alaska Native languages, and they're all in various shades of tremendous trouble. And there's a series of historical events that have created this trouble. And ironically, it's been schools and government programs that were focused on eliminating Indigenous languages. So we see the school as a vehicle to help us out of that, to say, well, let's make this actually a core part of the curriculum. So teachers are expected to know some language, students are expected to know some. We explore what do these languages have to offer us, because they have tremendous amounts of information, knowledge, perspective that we will not get if we let them go. So I think really centralizing it into education, which some people do have a hard time with. They think that somehow it's going to create a deficit for English and other subjects that students are learning. But I don't think there's any evidence of that. There's actually evidence that bilingualism and multilingualism creates higher rates of academic success than monolingualism.
Alaska Native languages went through, you know, a lot of suppression over the years in schools and just society in general. And is teaching a language that has been suppressed, where there aren't as many fluent speakers as other languages, how does that change the way you teach it, or does it change the purpose at all?
Well, I think it does. And so one of my focus areas is creating really safe spaces, creating opportunities to take care of some traumas that are both historical or personal, or some mix of the two. And then also being able to allow people to laugh, to have fun, to not be afraid to try, to not be afraid of mistakes, and to try and create an atmosphere where it feels like this is not only the right thing to do, but this is an enjoyable thing to do, and also something that I can do. So we look at sometimes the difficulties involved in learning a language like Tlingit. It's conceptually, and as far as the sound system and the grammar, it's a very complex language. There's lots of things in there in terms of how it looks at time and space and verbs and the ways that they work, which can really challenge new learners. But the things that we try to do is just have, one, a very safe place, a place where we can have fun but not make fun of each other, and a place where we can say, we can get you to the point where you can understand what these speakers are saying while we still have them here. Because unfortunately, the most fluent speakers are very elderly. There's really just a few of them left. And so we want to get folks to the point where, say, converse with them, understand what they're saying, get them to know that we're doing everything we can to turn the tide, to shift the tide on this, and to start having an increase instead of a decrease of people who can speak.
Finally, you know, what advice do you have for people who are interested in learning native languages?
Yeah, I would say the water's cold, so jump on in. And by that, I mean, you're just going to have to give it a shot and put yourself in a position where you might be vulnerable and you might have to listen to folks and see what's best for the community, how can you help, and just to say, everybody who lives here can learn this language, and I think actually has a responsibility to learn parts of these languages so that they're not part of the languages being killed off. And we can say as a population, actually, that's a really bad idea, and we can do much better. And so I would say, go find the resources that are out there. There's things that are free. There's things you can buy. Find out where the classes are. If there's not a language community in your area, create it. Find a way to make that happen. Find a way to bring some folks in who can help you. And just get yourself ready for some criticism, because that might be coming. Sometimes it's going to come from individuals, organizations. And I think you got to operate with a sense of awareness so that you're not going to just do things recklessly, but also just being supportive of one another to say, this is what we're trying to do. We're going to do our best, and we believe in ourselves and each other.
Lance, that's about all the questions I've got, but is there anything else you wanted to add or anything you think is important to understand or consider?
Yeah, sure. I can say a few things in Tlingit about our homeland.
Yigu ayach wan, kusachan katilla an in kreka aya yagachtudlak.
That was Kune Lance Twitchell, an associate professor of Alaska Native Languages at the University of Alaska Southeast and author of the Beginning Tlingit Workbook.